Henry's Drive-Thru Christmas. On News Talk.
Good evening and welcome to Henry's Drive-Thru Christmas. We're here until the top of the hour. I hope you've had a lovely Christmas lunch wherever you are, staying put or just driving past relatives' homes and waving or listening from around the world and not being able to get home this year because of the pandemic. Wherever you are, you're very welcome. 2020 has been a year like no other. We've all been forced to make sacrifices with family, work and friends. Many of us have lost loved ones, while others got married or had a baby but had to curtail the celebrations and got on with things the best way we could, laughed, smiled and cried through. I'm Henry McKean and this is Henry's Drive-Thru Christmas. Coming up on this special Christmas show.
People are beeping their horns, and at the end, people are beeping their horns like mad.
It's the new standing ovation.
It's the new standing
beeping
ovation.
Your horn is the new
beeping
clapping.
Your horns is the new clapping.
Hang on, I'm just going to beep my horn.
Beep
here
horn
we go.
Let's
hear this horn. Here we go. Let's try and hear this. I hope this works.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, no,
you're in the middle of Malahide Castle. There's nobody around.
It's great. It's drive-through panto.
You can say it, Henry. You're good anyway, you know. And you are on the good list, may I say. Just to
am
tell
I
you.
Am I on the good list?
Yeah, you were. You were on the good
but
list
I've been
last
naughty.
Year. Ah, oh, you haven't really. No, that's more Pat Kenny, you know, and Sean, he, you know, and those boys on the off the ball. Oh my goodness, don't talk to me about them.
So they're naughty, but I'm okay.
You wouldn't be in Lapland otherwise, I can tell you.
What Santa gets up to on Christmas Day after delivering all the presents last night.
We don't close down like other places. We're 24/7, 365 days of the year. We're always here. So, yeah, we're ready to respond to anything.
And working Christmas Day in a pandemic, I meet ambulance paramedics. But we start with the boys from St. Lawrence O'Toole's CBS North Wall Dublin 1. It's time for Kids Talk. The kids talk about every aspect of Christmas from their point of view. The boys of St. Lawrence O'Toole's have an elf called Larry, they explain.
So we have three elves and he's like the leader of the pack and he's a special elf kind of because he has all like the crest of our school and all and he's like, he wears green. It's like for our school because we have like green tracksuits and green uniforms and all. Yeah, he's very naughty this year.
Tell me about the elves in the school. I understand there's three of them and they're very naughty.
Yeah, because when we got home after school the next day, you just move around in like the school sometimes. The elves watch like over us in school and they make sure we're all good. And I think that like the elves have like a secret little list and it says their names on it. And just one more thing I know about the elves. They're trying to tell us something because they're looking all these directions and we found all these clues and we think the elves are trying to tell us something.
Our job is to mind the elves and we go in when they break out. We set it, tape the box, but they still break out and we put her in a drawer with two heavy boxes blocking it and they still go out.
Mark always makes us shout elf alert anytime we see elves in the school, which is kind of mad.
And that's the principal?
Yeah, Mark.
At home, all my elves are really crazy. All my elves were in the fridge and two of them were sitting in a milk carton that was cut open. And one of them was in the freezer drawer and the others were just messing around. And then today I found them hanging on the Christmas tree in my hall.
They're going to start mischief in the classes and all. And they're going to be fairy ball. They're probably going to get in the soup again like they done last year. They were swimming in the soup.
I couldn't find my elf and it was about a week till Christmas. I was bored so I was looking in my tree and then I see this red thing where a hat and I said, tell my auntie, oh look, I found an elf.
Each day when they move, like every night, they don't just move places. They also just go back to North Pole to tell Santa whether you've been good or bad.
The vice principal, Una, in our school told us that everyone went to the panto and she was the one behind and she stayed in the school and she heard like rattling upstairs. She went upstairs then and the elves were sitting on a whiteboard in a teacher's class called Miss Walker.
One time when we were in second class, the Mark's elves gave us all 100 bonus points. And we were all stitching.
Stitching means laughing.
Yeah. A few days ago, my elves came back with 2 elf doors because they were really tired coming back from the North Pole every day. So they got these elf doors so they could go back to the North Pole quicker. So they bring back 2 elf doors. So I put two of them on the fireplace so all of them can go back home quickly.
The kids talk about what they get up to when they wake up on Christmas Day.
You get to wake up to excitement and it's something to look forward to.
So talk me through your Christmas Day.
So usually I wake up and then I wake up me ma and me dad and me sister and then we walk down the stairs and then we basically go into the sitting room and then our presents are there and we just open them.
So when I get up, I basically get up at 6 a.m. or 5.
So sometimes 5 a.m.
Yeah, and I have to wait for me dad and my brothers to get up because they take about a half an hour. And then when we get down, we start to go for the stockings first and then we open the presents and have a dinner.
On my Christmas Day, I wake up and then I go get my stockings off the landing and we're all sitting there, but one of my brothers are way too lazy to go up, so he goes, go back to bed, it's only 6 o'clock in the morning. And we're all there sitting opening our presents and one of my brothers is still like that.
So one of your brothers is snoring?
Yeah, one of my brothers are always like that, go back to bed. And we're always like, no, and then I go out and get the stockings, we open all our presents and then we usually wait a long time and then we go up, we sit down the stairs and take a picture every year and then we get downstairs and open all the presents and then we have our dinner after that.
So on Christmas I'd usually get up at like about 3 or 4 in the morning and then I'd be sitting in bed waiting to go downstairs. When I do go downstairs, I have my breakfast, I go straight to the presents and then I go over and then I get the presents and I open them and then I all caramel, my auntie always takes pictures of me and then I have my breakfast and I open my stockings and then I have my dinner.
So I wake up and then I go downstairs and I open my presents and then I start playing with them and then I go to my stockings and see what I got and then I have my breakfast and then usually some of my friends knock for me and then I go out and play and then I come in around 2:30 for my dinner. And I usually have like turkey, potato and chicken and all.
On Christmas I wake up at around 9:30, I open my Christmas socks and I go downstairs and open my presents and my presents are there and I open them and then yeah, you open like your money with cards and all that stuff.
The kids discuss their New Year's resolutions.
To not torment my sister as much as I do. Well, if she torments me, and I have 2, I'd also give up chocolate until Easter.
And what's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution is to be nice to everybody in my family and make everybody that's like sad and all like feel happy and welcomed. And another thing that I'm gonna stop eating all sweets and all so I can get healthier.
So for my New Year's resolution, I'm gonna try give up sweets. Instead of eating sweets, I'm gonna have more vegetables.
You're going to have more vegetables, and do you like vegetables?
I love them.
And what's your favourite vegetable?
Probably sprouts.
Giving up jellies, collard balls.
The boys talk about their Christmas dinner.
I like the way we have the same exact dinner every day for 12 days and I like the mashed potatoes and the
and the gravy and the chicken, and then at the end I like the way you can get like dessert and cookies and you can pull crackers with your friends, and it's really fun, and it's just a time of like fun and yeah, getting lovely food.
I usually go down to me granny's, which is around the corner, for my Christmas dinner, and because of COVID I actually can, but it's only going to be me family. And I like pulling Christmas crackers with me grandad and everybody that I meet with.
I like, for Christmas dinner, we have like a bunch of plates everywhere, and then we have like Fanta or something, and we have to get more chairs, so we put chairs everywhere. And then after our Christmas dinner, when we go to church, and then once we finish church, it gets a bit dark, and I go round to me nanny's that lives far. And then we do Chris Kindle, where everyone gets a present off, like your auntie or something.
That sounds fantastic. And do you eat your Brussels sprouts?
Yeah.
I just like them. I don't know really what else to say, because it's Christmas dinner. Everyone's going to like a Christmas dinner.
Potatoes and chicken and meat and all, and gravy and all, that's what I get on it. And after me dinner, I get a drink, and it does be Fanta or Diet Coke.
So this year I'm looking forward to our Christmas dinner at school for one reason, because we get to have Pepsi or 7-Up. And I can't wait to have my Christmas dinner at home, because I love having stuffing. It's my favourite part about Christmas dinner.
And do you like vegetable stuffing or meat stuffing?
Sausage stuffing.
I asked the kids about their favourite Christmas film.
My favourite Christmas film is Christmas Chronicles 2 and 1. It's set in another place. It's set over in Mexico, and then they go to the North Pole and they meet more people. Only in number 1, they only meet Santa.
And they get to meet Mrs. Claus, don't they?
Yeah, in the number 2, and they get to go to Santa's village. But in the movie, they call it Mrs. Claus's village.
My favourite Christmas movie is the animated Grinch.
My favourite Christmas movie is Christmas Chronicles 2, and then the normal Grinch. It's very funny, and the Grinch is all like this, and he likes being funny, and he likes like sneaking around and all. It's very funny.
My one is the Elf.
My second favourite one is also the two Home Alones. In number 2, he turns on the telly and it's about this man where he shoots a gun. People in the hotel think it's actually him shooting the gun. And my third favourite movie is, you know, this little animation called Angela's Christmas Wish. It's on Netflix. It's a really good film.
Boys there from St. Lawrence O'Toole's CBS North Wall Dublin 1. A big thank you to them and their principal and deputy principal for making that happen. And a Merry Christmas to you all. Here is a short song by a school in Ballinar in County Mayo. Here is Mick D, Thank God It's Christmas Time, from Colleen's National School.
Get up off your hoop, cause somebody's at the door. We got Nickety Dickety with D-Max-C. Freaking sick of misery, so we back with a beat. Parents like turkeys that have lost their heads, running round in circles cause their house in a mess. Moody teenagers mope around the place, wouldn't stuff a turkey if it hit them in the face. Yo, people getting fat cause they eat like a pig, can't see their toesies cause their belly's so big. Come baby Jesus, we've been prepping the crib. I love this time of year, so let the party begin.
Thank God it's Christmas time, my love gon' shine. Christmas time, my love gon' shine. I got that festive feeling.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Give me a mince pie. high, pour me a mulled wine. Lock the kids away cause I'm having a good time. Stroll around the town for the festive buzz, wondering does Santa ever come to a tug. Kids getting drunk, they be tipsy and merry, and it's all because of granny strifers got too much sherry. Grinches complain, they love to give out, leave me feeling stinky like some Brussels sprouts. Got my jocks and socks from pennies and duns, feeling under pressure like a kid with the runs. The head on your man with the jolly plans, coming out the door with a trolley of cans.
Thank God it's Christmas time, my love gon' shine. I got that festive feeling.
Henry's Drive-Thru Christmas.
On News Talk.
Now, it's time for a bit of panto. The panto industry have really suffered this year because of COVID, but many of them have reimagined what the panto can do. Producers Alan Hughes and Carl Broderick wanted to be able to bring the magic to their loyal fans this Christmas. Due to the impact of COVID-19, this year Sammy Sausages will grace the big screen. The magical tale of Peter Pan is being shown on a giant screen for Ireland's first ever drive-in panto in the grounds of Malahide Castle. This has been made possible by funding from the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sport and Media Live Performance Support Scheme. It has been described as the funniest panto in Ireland, and I visited Malahide Castle to meet the producers and Jake Carter, who plays Peter Pan, to see for myself.
How are you? I'm Carl Broderick.
Alan Hughes, aka Sammy Sausages.
Carl, Alan, happy Christmas, merry Christmas. Oh. Where are we standing here on Christmas Day?
We are standing in this beautiful surroundings, the fairy tale setting of Malahide Castle in North County Dublin. Where Carl was grew up only down the road, and this was his playing fields. And we're here because we have Ireland's first ever drive-in big screen panto. Peter Pan with an all-star cast, and it's the first time it's ever been done in Ireland. And we're just overwhelmed about the response to it so far. It's been incredible. And like to think that a couple of weeks back, we didn't even know whether panto was going to happen in Ireland this Christmas. And now, obviously, through the grants that people received from the Department of Arts and Culture, that it was able to happen. So we're delighted that we went one step above. And you see the big screen here behind us, this massive screen.
And I have my car.
You have your car, so you're ready, you're set. So the big screen here behind us in this beautiful setting of Malahide Castle. And yeah, Ireland's first ever big screen drive-in panto. We're so proud of it. We actually are so proud of it. Yeah.
Carl, this is your 23rd or 24th in a row?
23rd in a row. I started in kindergarten doing panto. And yeah, 23 in a row. And so I think it's the perfect venue for Henry's drive-through, the drive-in panto.
So what kept you going? Obviously, it was a tough year for the arts. It was a tough year for panto. You know, you guys, it nearly didn't happen. What motivated you to get up when you were kicked down?
I said to Carl, look, we're going to do something because our loyal fans over the years of our panto have been so loyal to us, and said, let's do something. So we got together, we got the cast, and it's amazing. I think, Henry, what it was is to give the cast, the crew, the stage managers, all the people backstage, the lighting, the sound, a gig for Christmas. And that's what it was. They all got a gig where they were going to be out of work. And that was the whole thing about the grant, that you could get something. So we actually then got ourselves together. Carl wrote the script in, what, a week?
A week,
basically. And it's his funniest ever. So,
oh, thanks.
No, it is the funniest ever. Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is. To be honest with you, Henry, it was almost like born out of necessity. I mean, I just wasn't working, and the cast and crew weren't working, and they were phoning me every week. And to be ready by the time those grants were given out in November, you couldn't just run with anything then. So you had a lot of legwork. And then the idea of that people had put in legwork, and then that was suddenly the end of it. No fruits of your labour. So we just kind of knew we were going to keep going anyway.
And it's great because then we've people here working on the grounds of Malahide Castle. They're now working all over Christmas, right up till the 5th of January. They weren't going to be working. So it was a double hit. You got the people who are all the cast and crew who worked on the actual filming of it. Then you have a whole other section of people. So there's two big sections of people who 8 weeks ago had no jobs for Christmas, but now they do because of what we were doing. And that's why we just wanted to and thank everybody who's come along so far and been a huge support to us. And we are running till the 5th of January, and it's so many shows booked out, it's incredible. So people want to do something. That's what people are saying to us. We want to get into the car with the kids. The kids are so looking forward to it. It's a little adventure out. As somebody said to me yesterday, we're not going to the shopping centre and we're not going to the playground. We're actually going to something. And it was like such a relief.
They're actually going to something. And the concept, I mean, it's a really original idea. Obviously in America, they've had drive-through movies forever, but this is a drive-through panto.
Yeah.
And I suppose the hard work is done. They're watching you on screen. They're watching, I suppose, a recording. Tell us how you did it. How did you get it up onto the big screen?
What we'd like to get across is, even though it's recording, we filmed it as live. So
you
it's a live.
All the people shouting, yeah. Beeping their horns from the cars. Oh, no, you won't. We leave those gaps in. We react. It's very much, it really translates. Yeah. It really
works. You are watching a live theatre event, like as if you were in the theatre with us. Like we fluff our lines, we've left that in. Because if you were sitting in the audience and we did that, so we're laughing that we fluffed the line. And so we just sort of said, that's what it is. That's what live theatre is all about. And we didn't want it to be, oh no, like nothing
so
messed
it's
up or anything.
It's the real deal. And normally you guys would do sometimes 2-3 pantos a day for perhaps a month.
Five weeks.
It would be absolutely grueling. Whereas this year, you've basically had to do an ultra marathon, and then you just hope for the best.
You to be honest with you, when something is done and it's up and it's ready and it's looking beautiful and feedback is wonderful and tickets are selling, yes. If it wasn't and you really had to get out and slog, we'd do that. And you'd have to do it. You know, if you had to sell a ticket, you'd have to do whatever you have to do, you know?
Because pantos up and down the country, in Ireland and in the UK, have been, I suppose, reimagined is the best way of putting it. Do you think this is the future? Do you think from now on it will be like this? There'll be options of perhaps drive-through pantos, even with the vaccine being rolled out?
I think, look, it's something that we have to look at for next year because nobody knows. Everybody's thinking everyone's going to be back on full-scale packed theatres, packed arenas. I'm not quite sure whether we'll be there again next year for that and whether people will have the confidence. Hopefully we will, and you will be back in some live situations. But whether it would be a case where you'll have packed theatres with like 1,200 people in it, I'm not sure. So look, it's just, look at it. If anybody had said anything to us in March, where we'd be now and what we'd be doing and how we've adapted to this, we'd be going, no, don't be silly. That's not going to happen this year. Like we were already planning in March about what we knew we were going to do Peter Pan. Yeah. Not in this version of it. But look, as you say, we've adapted like everybody, like so many businesses across the country who've had to adapt and change. And we've been doing it on Ireland AM all year, backing business. It's like so proud of people who are able to do that, just adapt and get on with it. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've done here. And we're so proud of everyone who did it.
Yeah. And the great thing is about a show like this is it's more than just the couple of hours that you come out to it. It's just so different than say something that's maybe being, you know, streamed at home. The idea that you're looking forward to it, the idea that kids talk about it, that say after Christmas, the kids may have got the present for Christmas and then they have it to look forward to and what clothes they're going to wear. It's just an event. It's so much more than even the few hours that it happens on, you know, and that's what's great about this.
I'm really looking forward to this. Where'd you get tickets and how long does this run? Obviously it's Christmas Day today, so it's not happening today.
Yeah, we're running right through now till the 5th of January. We've two shows tomorrow and right through then till the 5th of January. Yeah. And just go on panto.ie. It's approximately 65 minutes long, so it's not too, like, you know, you are in your car, but there's a little bit of music and pre-show and everyone gets into the spirit
it's
of it.
And loads of interaction. It's so
loads
much
of interaction.
Fun.
People are beeping their horns and at the end people are beeping their horns like mad.
It's
and
the
we're
new standing
it's
ovation.
It's the new standing
beeping
ovation.
Beeping your horn is the new
beeping
clapping.
Your horns is the new
clapping. Hang on, I'm just going to beat my horn. Here we go. Let's hear this horn. Here we go. Let's try and hear this. I hope this works.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Oh, yes, you are.
Oh, when you're in the middle of Malahide Castle, there's nobody around. Like, it's great. You can do it.
Well, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, thank Henry. You. Thank you so much.
And to all your listeners, happy Christmas.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jake Carter, and I want to wish you all a big happy Christmas. We filmed the pantomime, and it's been shown as a drive-in pantomime. Ireland's first ever drive-in pantomime. I think maybe could be one of the world's first ever drive-in pantomimes in Malahide Castle, which is very, very a lovely location for it. You know, it's very scenic and very Christmassy as well. So we filmed the pantomime. Obviously, with restrictions and stuff at the minute, we couldn't really have that many people in a theatre for it to be viable like that. So Alan and Carl, who run the pantomime, had this bright idea of doing a drive-in panto, and I think it was probably one of the best ideas that anyone's ever had this year. Do you know what I mean? It was great. It was great to film. It was a great production, a great script, and a great cast as well. So I'm playing Peter Pan, which is quite good because I just have to be myself, really. He's a young, cheeky, chappy kid who never wants to grow up, which actually probably sums me up quite well. But we've kind of brought the tradition of pantomime and modernised it a bit and adapted to the times, and we're now doing it as a drive-in in Malahide Castle, but it still has the fun of a pantomime, of what you can expect. The usual gags, we've filmed the usual mistakes that are always there, and the laughs and the responses from the audience as well. So when you go, you tune in on your radio in your car.
You tune in on your radio?
Yeah, so you tune in to get the sound, so it's like we're right there with you, do you know what I mean? You can hear everything, and it's on a massive, huge screen as well. It's one of the international touring screens, so it's huge. So no matter where you are, you can see it, and you can hear it, because it's right there. And it's great. We have the usual pantomime songs, the sing-along songs, the gags, the laughs, something for everyone, something from everyone in the family, from the little ones right up to the grannies and the granddads. So the last few months before Christmas started to come up, we all didn't expect to do a pantomime, you know what I mean? I've done a panto now for the last 4 years.
And it's a grueling schedule normally, isn't it?
Normally,
it could be twice a day, 6 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Normally we're working for over 2 months. So we go into rehearsals and that lasts for 2 weeks. Then we go and start the run. We do a tech run, a couple of days of tech, and then we start the actual shows, which normally runs for about 6 weeks. And you're doing 2 to 3 shows a day. So it's grueling, do you know what I mean? And you're repeating yourself. But it's great. And that's one of the joys of pantomime as well, is the more you do it, the more you get into it. But it was a little bit different this time because obviously it was filmed. So we had the whole production done and recorded within 2 weeks. We had about 10 days of rehearsals, and then those 3 or 4 days of filming the actual pantomime. Because we wanted to get it right, do you know what I mean? We wanted that authenticity of the actual pantomime feeling still in that environment.
So a huge amount of work went into it. And for you, 2020, it's been a very challenging year, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I mean, from March, my whole kind of year was cancelled, the same as everyone else. But I think the entertainment industry in particular has took a huge hit. I mean, I would usually be gigging with the band, touring around Ireland, and it hasn't happened this year, do you know what I mean? We had to cancel our tours, there was no summer festivals. So it has been a tough year, but it was great now to see the likes of Alan and Carl adapting and, you know, being able to still get out there, not just even for us performers, but there's so many other people that get to work because of that, the lighting engineers, the sound engineers, you know, the tech guys. It's given everyone a little bit of employment just before Christmas, which is great, you know what I mean? It's great to see the lads doing that as well, do you know what I mean? And taking a big risk as well, you know, doing something different like this would have been a huge risk for the lads. They didn't know whether it was going to work, but so far, anyway, the last few weeks, I've heard rave reviews of the pantomime. People are absolutely loving it, and they love that idea of being in a car as well. I know a lot of things at the minute are being streamed, and that's great as well, see things streamed, but there's only so many streams I think you can watch. I mean, I've done a load of them over the last year now, trying to get the music out there. But this is actually something that you can get in your
so
car.
You can really interact.
You can actually
and
drive.
And you leave gaps in for the jokes, don't you?
Well, that's it. Yeah, there's gaps for the gags and the responses. And it's great for people to be able to still get dressed up and leave the house and go to an actual show. Do you know what I mean? Even if you are just in your car, it's great to get out and do something.
And being Peter Pan, is a part of you Peter Pan?
It is. I mean, the last couple of years I played Aladdin, and I always thought I was kind of typecast as Aladdin. But I think I've found another role that really, really suits me, Peter Pan. I am the cheeky chappy. My music reflects that. The way I am, I am who I am, do you know what I mean? And that is very like Peter Pan. He's like a big kid that never wants to grow up, and he loves having a laugh. So it was very fitting, I think, for me to play Peter Pan. And it was probably one of the most enjoyable roles I've ever played.
Jake Carter, Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, and thank you very much. And a big happy Christmas to all the listeners as well.
But Peter, how do we get to Neverland?
Fly, of course.
Fly?
It's easy. All you have to do is to... Ha! That's funny.
What's the matter? Don't you know?
Oh, sure. It's just that I never thought about it before. Say, that's it. You think of a wonderful thought.
Any happy little thoughts?
Uh-huh.
Like toys at Christmas, sleigh bells, snow?
Yep. Watch me now. Here I go. It's easier than pie.
He can fly.
He can fly.
He flew.
Now you try.
And that was You Can Fly, You Can Fly, You Can Fly from the 1953 classic Peter Pan, ending that report with Jake Carter, who plays Peter Pan in the drive-through production of Peter Pan at Malahide Castle. Tickets are still available from panto.ie and you can catch it until January 5th.
Henry's Drive-Through Christmas.
On News Talk.
Now, we wanted to celebrate all the frontline workers who have worked tirelessly right through the pandemic and are still working over Christmas. I met some of the HSE's heroes, the ambulance paramedics, who respond to all emergencies despite the risk of COVID to them and their families.
Hi Henry, it's Brian O'Reilly. I'm an advanced paramedic in Swords Ambulance Station, National Ambulance Service.
Hi, it's Moira Canarns, paramedic here at Swords Ambulance Station, National Ambulance Service.
And we're here at the National Ambulance Service Station in Swords. We can hear people driving around. I suppose this is Henry's drive-through Christmas. For you, what's it like working Christmas Day over the Christmas period?
Well, it can be difficult, Henry. Most of the people working in the station have family commitments. Some of us have young kids. So on Christmas morning we might have to get up a bit earlier so we can do Santa with the kids, or we might have to go home and have a Christmas dinner later on in the evening so we could have something, some sort of a Christmas with our family.
You get a multitude. It can be depending on weather related as well over the years. You'd have like bad RTCs, road traffic collisions, depending on icy weather or snow, or falls from every age group, from children up to OAPs, on icy weather. You'd also have the likes of burns, people with dinner who aren't used to cooking dinner all the time. They might give it a bash at Christmas time. Accidents as well, the likes of bikes, hoverboards, quads.
Yeah, we're always ready to respond to any sort of an emergency here on Christmas Day, and right over the whole Christmas period. We don't close down like other places. We're 24/7, 365 days of the year. We're always here. So yeah, we're ready to respond to anything.
Being Christmas Day, there are ambulances parked up, and dealing with COVID this year has been tough. We know in Northern Ireland, in Antrim, there were 17 ambulances outside the hospital waiting to go in last week. For you, how has the year been when it comes to the pandemic and COVID? It must have been extremely challenging.
Yes, it has, Henry. It's been very challenging for all healthcare workers. But especially for ourselves, like as we say, we would be going out to people's houses, and we're not too sure what we're actually going into. People could have COVID and not realise it. So we will be wearing PPE, proper personal protection, on every call. And then there's all the cleaning then that has to go on after the calls. The ambulances have to be really decontaminated very well, and ourselves. So yeah, it has been quite challenging, and I'm sure hopefully in the new year we're going to have a little bit of chink of light, and when the vaccine comes you can start to get back to a little bit of normality.
How has the year been for you? How has 2020 been for you being an ambulance frontline worker?
It's been challenging like for any other healthcare worker across the board. We don't know what we're going out to on a daily basis or on any shift whatsoever, in relation with COVID as well. Challenging as well not getting to see our own family, with between obviously exposure ourselves in the job.
So you are frontline, you're proper frontline.
Yes. Well, as somebody said, Henry, we're actually more than frontline, we go behind the frontline.
So you are. It is, and it is a bit like a war, trying to stay safe and help people, and there's beeps there.
We do get some information from our control, but it's not always 100% accurate. They can only take the information that they're given as well. But when we go to a call, it could be somebody who has COVID, who is COVID positive and are in the house. It could be another illness or injury that they have, but the COVID is another aspect of the call. So we would have to be quite careful about putting our PPE on, which we are. I think all the members of staff here would be very diligent about using their PPE. We're all quite anxious then as well about bringing something home to our families. That's the big concern for everybody. So we have to take that into consideration as well.
You always have to have COVID in the back of your mind, no matter what call you're going out to, and especially where it's in our natural instincts to jump in to help people out. That's why the majority of us are in this job. The likes of cardiac arrests, you still have to have COVID in the back of your head. The likes of a birth, delivery, which we'd have plenty of them here, you have to have that in the back of your head as well.
And what's it like delivering a birth? How is
every
that?
Every single one of them is different, I can say. Anyway, I've had a good few over the years, and I can definitely say the last one I had was actually on the M1 just before the port tunnel.
Wow.
So it can get messy as well. I won't get into that now.
Well, just the thing about it is, and we always seem to get a delivery around the Christmas time, which you know, has its other meanings.
Baby well. Jesus.
Baby Jesus, exactly. But as Moira says, we can't just, even though our instinct might be just to run in to help somebody, we do have to protect ourselves and the patients as well by putting on our PPE before we can, you know, render any assistance to the patients. You know.
What's that been like? I know in the past you've delivered a baby live on News Talk in the back of an ambulance, haven't you?
Yeah, that was a number of years ago. Myself and another paramedic here, John Bourne, we had the pleasure of having the News Talk reporter with us. And we got a great call for her, which was a delivery, as you say, in the back of the ambulance. And everything went well, thank God. That's the big plus with this job, is the rewards you do get when you can help somebody, you know, in their time of need. But it's really got so busy as well that, you know, it's taken its toll on a lot of the ambulance crews. But we're all in it for the right reason, and that's why we carry on.
It has been a challenging year for every single one of us across the board. I don't think any of us expected to have the year that we had. And hopefully, as Brian said, going into 2021, we'll have the vaccine and bring back some form of normality. Obviously, it's going to be around for a while.
And will you be rolling out that vaccine? You could be.
We have mobile teams of paramedics who are going out testing people for COVID, especially in nursing homes and other areas that it's difficult for people to get to healthcare facilities. And their roles may change in the new year, where they will be going out to give the vaccinations in these inaccessible areas.
So why did you want to work for the National Ambulance Service? Why did you want to become a paramedic?
It's a very rewarding job. I mean, it does have its difficulties like any other job, but the rewards are very good, and they're great when they happen.
It is a challenging job. On a daily basis, on any shift, you don't know what you're going to have. You could go from just transferring a patient to pulling somebody out of a car to delivering a baby. Not one day has been the same.
And what message do you want to say to people over Christmas? Obviously, the message has gone out for everyone to do their bit and to try and socially distance. And we did have Clap for Carers, and the Irish public did get behind it. Did you feel supported?
We definitely did. I think a lot has changed, though. I think even from the second lockdown, people's attitudes have changed. I think everybody is getting fed up across the board, not just frontline healthcare workers. I think everybody who's had difficulties throughout 2020. And Christmas, I suppose, the message is, I think for most people, is to still have COVID, unfortunately, to have COVID in the back of your mind.
At the beginning of the whole pandemic, we got some great support from the public. Everybody was on board, but as time has gone on, I think people have got weary of the whole restrictions, and it's understandable that people have got a bit lax. But this Christmas is going to be a different Christmas, I think, for a lot of people. But if we can just stick with it until the new year, I said earlier, there's a chink of light there, and if we can stick with it, we will get through this. And that's everybody together.
Who do you want to say hello to?
I'd just like to say hello to my family at home, my wife Joyce and my two sons Thomas and Preston, and also to all the frontline workers who are working on Christmas.
Moira Canans, who do you want to say hello to today, Christmas Day?
I'd like to say hello to my mum and dad, all my friends across Dublin, but especially my niece and nephew, Killian and Kate down in Galway.
You're involved in the National Ambulance Service Pipes and Drums, and we're going to play a piece, aren't we? What are we going to play?
we've done a piece there for the HSE Healthy Ireland. It's called Little Drummer Boy, and it's dedicated to all frontline workers over the Christmas period.
And do you feel loved by the Irish public? Oh, there we go. That's someone loving you there.
That's just a call now, Henry. So
you've got to go. You've got to go.
Have to go now, and I'll talk to you. Talk to you soon.
Lovely to meet you, Henry.
Over.
Big thank you to HSE's National Ambulance Service, Brian O'Reilly and Maura Kinnearns. The National Ambulance Service pipes and drums there with Little Drummer Boy, recorded before the pandemic. Now, these kids from St. Patrick's Boys National School in Clane, County Kildare. This is Miss Howard's first class and they're singing I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas as part of their Wellbeing Week. The lads recorded the song for their parents to put a smile on everyone's face. Thank you there to St. Patrick's Boys National School in Clane. Now, we know Santa Claus had a very busy night last night, made even harder by the pandemic. But Santa got through it and still had a little energy to talk to me at the North Pole.
Ho, ho, ho! Hello, everybody. Hello, boys and girls. And hello, Henry and everybody there in News Talk. Ho, 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 ho. It's Santa here.
Santa Claus, I can't believe I'm getting to meet you on Christmas Day. I've got special permission to travel to Lapland, and I've managed to isolate for the last 14 days to get to meet you. Santa Claus, you must be exhausted.
Oh, I'm very tired, Henry. And yes, it's a pleasure to have you here in Lapland, you know, at the North Pole. And you did get special permission, and only you, Henry. That's all. Nobody else, I can tell you. But yes, it was a very busy night last night because, may I say, I've had a record number of good boys and girls this year. It's been more than ever because with this if I don't mind me saying, the pandemic, you know, all the boys and girls have been so good doing their homework and Zooming and all that, and sometimes not seeing their friends for weeks on end, and working with mummies and daddies and friends and people and the whole lot. So I've been so proud of all of them. So I've had a record number of presents that I've had to deliver.
Father Christmas, Santa Claus, how has it been for you? Because you really have been up against it. You've got to get down chimneys, stay 2 meters away from anything that moves. What sort of challenges have you faced?
Well, it's been slightly different. Yes, I've had to, you know, when I do come down a chimney, sometimes there might be there people could be asleep and such like, you know, and normally I could go up close, but I've been keeping the 2 meters, you know. But and I sanitize my hands every time I go into everybody's house. Oh yes. Even with the gloves. Oh yeah. I've gone through buckets of the stuff.
Where do you find your energy? I mean, and how did you do it? How did you manage to deliver all those presents, all those chimneys, and people living in apartments and flats magically getting through the wall? How did you find time to do it all? And now you seem quite rested. You know, we're now Christmas Day going into evening.
It is, as you said, Henry. It's magic. So I can tell you all of it. But may I say, it's the power of people is make me do it. That's where I get my energy from, you know, and the love of the children and the happiness that I bring. I get energy from that, and that energy gives me magic to be able to make that evening a little bit longer than it is for you and everybody else, you see.
How is Mrs. Claus? How are the elves? How is everyone in your life? How are the reindeer?
Oh, Mary is wonderful. She is, and she really is the workhorse. You know, she does everything, you know, and I deliver the presents and I help, but I tell you, she's the real power there, you know. She organizes me. She keeps everything together, and she keeps all the elves. I have 4,762 elves, and she keeps them all in check, you know. I tell you, that's how much I need. And Rudolph, you were asking about. Rudolph is very well in all the reindeer are. Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner and Blitzen. They're all great. And I tell you, they're resting now, and they have a special Christmas pudding themselves as a little treat after all the work they did. But they got lots of carrots left out for them by all the good boys and girls. So they had a great night.
Santa Claus, what do you do for the next 364 days? Obviously, there's lots of planning. There's lots of letters that need to be read, and you need to check them twice.
Well, I do. I have to check them all twice, sometimes even three times, I can tell you, you know. But I'll take a little bit of a break for a couple of days, that's all, because you see, Christmas is it's nearly 12 months, you see, by the time people start sending their letters straight away, and even now they're sending emails, would you believe?
They're sending emails.
We're all technical now. Even I tell you, on the day after Christmas and Christmas Day and such like, I start getting emails. Kids who tell me thank you for the presents I left, which is, I always love that, I must say. And little notes that I would get, and little messages back from my elves and such like. And I have a bit of work to do as well, because I've got a new puppy called Loki. And Loki, I'm going to try and train Loki. And I know lots of boys and girls out there have Lokis as well that they've got, and that I left for them. And I'm going to be training Loki, and that takes a bit of work, you know.
So you've been training Loki.
Oh, yes.
And you've been really giving Loki so much attention, and I've been privileged to meet Loki, and Loki is absolutely beautiful. You're also embracing modern technology. You mentioned emails, but also Zoom, and you're getting around through Zoom.
Oh yes, I'm doing lots of Zooms at the moment, as I know mummies and daddies are with work at the moment, and kids are to each other and such like. And I'm doing some events through Zoom, saying hello to people and doing some work with people like Orange Works and people like that who do events for companies and such like. And I've been doing lots of work like that, and they're wonderful.
So you must be absolutely, I'm going to use, I suppose, not bad language, but you must be absolutely knackered, because you're doing it all. Up there in the sky with the reindeer, you're delivering the presents, but you're also embracing modern technology, and you're everywhere.
Well, I kind of am, yes, and I wouldn't use that term. I'd say I'm very tired, that's all.
Very tired.
Oh, you know, I don't say that kind of thing, but you can say it, Henry. You're good anyway, you know. And you are on the good list, may I say, just to
Am
tell
I
you.
Am I on the good list?
Yeah, you were. You were on the good
but
list last
naughty.
Year.
But I've been naughty.
Ah, you haven't really. No, that's more Pat Kenny, you know, and Sean, he, you know, and those boys on the off the ball. Oh, my goodness, don't talk to me about them.
So they're naughty, but I'm okay.
You wouldn't be in Lapland otherwise, I can tell you.
And, you know, I have a confession to make. I've been to Lapland once before. I went many, many years ago. I absolutely loved it, and I got to meet you. I think it was 2002 the last time I was there. It was 18 years ago.
18 years. You know, to me, that seems like 5 minutes. I'm 575 years old, you see.
And you look great, by the way.
Well, thank you very much, Henry. You're looking well yourself.
Well, all I can say, Santa Claus, just get some rest over the next 364 days. And thank you so much on Christmas evening, Christmas Day, actually making the effort to chat to News Talk.
Well, it's always a pleasure meeting you, Henry. And we spoke last year, I remember. And I look forward to many more years of chatting again. And to all the listeners out in News Talk, it's great to talk to you all again. And the boys and girls especially. Be good again this year. You were wonderful. And I look forward to next year to bringing you presents again. Ho, ho, ho.
Santa Claus, thank you.
You're very welcome, Henry. Bye-bye now. Ho, ho, ho.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Santa
wears boots and a suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on his head, suit of red. Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who's got a big red cherry nose?
Santa's got a big red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way, ho, ho, ho?
Santa laughs this way, ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 cherry nose. Cap on head, suit that's red. Special night, beard that's white.
Thank you to Santa Claus for that interview at the North Pole. That was Bob Dylan, Must Be Santa, taken from his 2009 album, Christmas in the Heart. And that's all from Henry's Drive Through Christmas. A big thank you to my production team, Garrett Mulhall and Anne-Marie Kane. Merry Christmas to you and yours. And we are going to end on Have a Henry Christmas, written by Aidan McKelvey and performed back in 2018. Have a Henry Christmas.
Henry's Drive-Thru Christmas.
On News Talk.
It's Christmas time. Jingle all the way. isn't that what you say? When it's Christmas Day.
Let the snow fall, deck the halls, hang your stocking on that tree. Isn't that what you say? When it's Christmas Day, time for presents and pudding, a whole lot of hugging, singing out loud for all to hear. Drink some wine, drink some beer, and have a Henry Christmas.
Have a Henry Christmas.
I can't think of a better way.
I can't think of a better way.
That it's Christmas.
That it's Christmas time.
In that old McKinney way.
In that old McKinney way.
Merry Christmas to one and all. Here's hoping snow will fall.
Here's hoping.
Another wish for everyone. The Brexit will be over and done.
Yes, Brexit will be over and done.
And let the snow fall, deck the halls, hang your stocking on that tree.
On that tree.
I tell you what the McKeans say.
What the McKeans say?
When it's Christmas Day.
When it's Christmas Day.
Have a Henry, Henry little Christmas. I can't think of a better way to say.
I can't think of a better way to say.
That it's Christmas time. In that old McKinney way.
McKinney way.
Have a Henry, Henry Christmas.
Have a Henry Christmas.
I can't think of a better way to say that it's Christmas time.
It's Christmas time.
In that old McKinney way. McKinney way.
Old McKinney way.
Have a Henry Christmas, everybody.
Henry Christmas to you too.
And a Henry Christmas to you.
Henry's Drive-Through Christmas. On News Talk.
There is boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. And man will live forevermore because of Christmas Day.